This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Every cartoon published in The New Yorker in its nearly 80-year history, that's 68,647 cartoons, is included in the new collection, The Complete Cartoons of The New Yorker. It's a book and two CDs. On today's edition, we're listening back to interviews with New Yorker cartoonists. Ross Chast has published in the magazine since 1978. In the current edition of The New Yorker, her cartoon features a young man in a sweater sitting on the sidewalk behind a table with pamphlets and a donation box. The sign on the table reads, "Jews for Jesus," and also for pissing off one's parents, even if they weren't religious, in a way that the Hare Krishnas can't even begin to imagine. I spoke with Ross Chast in 1987 after the publication of her cartoon collection Mondo Boxo. It included her cartoons Camp Mandatory, where you'll have lots of fun or else. And she described The Perfect Family. They don't use very much salt, but when they do, they use sea salt. Please take a good look at the label or else you'll probably get the wrong brand.
I guess they're just sort of this sort of perfect, obnoxious little family that you read about a lot in magazines and newspapers, and they're always doing everything sort of right, and they eat right, and they keep fit, and they like themselves a whole lot, and they're very clever, and I'm very happy for them, really.
Are you really? You resent them.
I don't know if I really resent them. I think they're kind of funny.
Did you ever want to be perfect yourself like that?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, especially when you read about these, oh, I don't know, I can't remember her name. She's some hostess and she has some book out, and I saw her on TV and she was so funny. She was just talking about setting a table for a company, and she just went on and on and on about the placemats and the napkins and the fork and the knife and the spoon and this glass and that glass, and everything was very clever, and, you know, it was like cauliflower centerpieces, and it just was sort of funny.
You have one cartoon called Poets on Strike, about
right.
The great poetry strike of 1989, in which they brought in scabs, but the scabs only wrote things like roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is white. And after 6.5 months, an agreement was reached, and even the most depressed poet was happy, sort of. That cartoon made me think of what an unusual job you have. Kind of like the poets going on strike. Poets don't go on strike. Nobody notices poets. And cartoonists, I mean, you're at home all day. Most
yep.
likely, trying to come up with ideas. Is that a difficult and lonely life?
There are times when it's harder than others. When it's going well, it seems like the easiest job in the world. And when it's not, then it's, I wouldn't say, you know, necessarily the hardest job in the world, but then it's just harder.
Are there things that come your way that you save because you know that there will eventually be a good idea for a cartoon?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't even know if I think that directly. I do save things here and there that may never find their way into a cartoon, but that I kind of like.
Such as?
Recently I got something. I guess it's a company called the Wisconsin Cheese Man, and it's these huge. Well, I guess since it's the Christmas season and all that, it's these huge crates of arrangements of cheeses and summer sausages and petits fours and weird sauces, and it's all arranged so there's like a big cheese in the center, and then it's like a mandala, but of
I know exactly what you mean. And is there a little like green the equivalent of confetti, you know, around it to
yeah,
make it look
like,
festive,
like a lawn kind
yeah,
of
exactly.
something.
So this is going to be used as a cartoon, do you think?
I doubt it. Maybe in a cartoon about something else completely, that might have a little tiny, you know, cameo role or something.
But that's one of the things I really love about your cartoons. Everything really rings true. There's all these little details about life. Like when you draw that cartoon and there's a little image in passing with this cheese box, I'm going to recognize it because I've seen these cheese boxes. It's those details, I think, that, among other things, that really make your cartoons so special.
Oh, well, thank you.
What else are you saving now?
Oh, let me see. Ugh, I have all kinds of ridiculous things. How to keep hamster manuals, and what do I have? I have a book called Chickens in Your Backyard. I don't know whether these will ever show up in cartoons. They're just things that I collect that I think are funny, and, you know, they might not. I don't know.
You know, when I first started seeing your cartoons, and I saw that they were by R. Chast, I said to myself, is it a man or a woman? Did people ever think you were a man before you became known as Roz Chast?
Yes, I still occasionally get letters, believe it or not, to Mr. Roz Chast. Which is, you know, really insisting on, you know, something, but, I just sort of stuck with it. Well, I did go through a tiny phase for a few weeks, I think it lasted, of signing my name Roz Chast, because an editor, a woman editor, had said to me, well, you're a woman cartoonist, and you should let people know you're a woman. And, you know, I mean, that it may be right that I felt funny. I felt every time I signed it, it's like, oh, well, now she likes me more because I'm signing my name like this. I guess now I'm better in her book. And I felt stupid doing it. I just, you know, I said, well, this is not how I really sign my name. This is, I sign it R. Chast. That's how I sign it.
But that's interesting. So you never decided to sign it R. Chast to keep your
sexual... No, that's...
Your gender unknown.
No, not at all. I mean, obviously, if I wanted to do that, you know, in the contents in the New Yorker, when they list the cartoons, I would have had them print R. Chast there, but, you know.
Let me just ask you one last question. Did you, when you started cartooning, did you approach it with the idea of wanting to do it differently than it had been done before?
No, this is not really. This is just really the way I draw. And when I tried to do it the same as other people, I knew that that was really, that didn't work at all. That was a disaster. I guess some people, when they get out of college, they really are very much in a lather about what they're going to do next. But, I mean, at the time that I started, I just knew that this is really what I like to do.
Roz Chast recorded in 1987.